Once upon a time, there was a man who had lived forever. His name was Albert, and some people called him Albert, and other people called him Al. Albert had lived forever on account of something abnormal about his body's cells. The rest of us are filled with somewhere between 50 and 75 trillion cells that are constantly being regenerated and renewed inside of us. For example, our red blood cells live for about 4 months before they are replaced. White blood cells live on average for a year. Skin cells regenerate every 2 to 4 weeks. We only get wrinkles because the collagen starts to leave our skin. We get a new heart about every 20 years as old cells slowly turn over their functioning to new cells. And our taste bud cells rejuvenate every 10 days. The cells in our eye's cornea can regenerate within 24 hours. And in fact, our cells are so energetic that they tend to outlive us for a few hours or up to a day after we have expired. And you might start to think that this all sounds pretty magical, but even we have limitations. For us, there are a limited few groups of cells in our body that do not regenerate or renew themselves. And the way I understand it, one of these groups are the other cells in the eye, like the lens, that's why our vision goes. And the other group of cells that don't regenerate age with us for our entire life, our brain cells. And that's because these particular kinds of cells mature more slowly. And now, there has been research showing that stem cells, which you could think of as multi-purpose cells, can regenerate the part of the brain dedicated to smell and the part of the brain dedicated to learning new things. But the rest of our brain cells are the ones we were born with. They're the ones we will die with. And the hypothesis is that this may be an evolutionary advantage, because brain cells mature more slowly, and thus plugging new ones into the existing structure could do more harm than good. But you see, this is what was so special about Albert. Al's brain cells renewed and regenerated at the same rate that his skin cells did. We can only begin to imagine how different Albert's life would have been from our own because of this fact. Al's vision stayed incredibly sharp, no matter how old he got. And while everyone's taste buds regenerate fairly regularly, since Albert's brain also constantly renewed itself, every time he tasted something, it was like tasting it for the first time. When his mother took him out for Thai food, the curry dishes would almost glow green and yellow and orange with the neon intensity to his ever-fresh vision receptors. And the fireworks of taste that went off in his mouth, oh my. When Albert passed someone on the street who was playing guitar, he would stop and listen, fascinated by every note, every sound of the guitarist's knuckles or fingernails on the strings, every pause. Al would remain motionless, drinking the music in until somebody came looking for him and dragged him home. You see, Al's brain cells regenerated too quickly to ever mature and retain the information that you and I can retain, at least on our good days. When Albert's cousins came to visit, this is something they loved about him, because one of their favorite things to do was to tell Albert all the same jokes that they had told him last year. And Al would laugh and laugh until he cried. The cousins would reteach him how to play freeze tag, and they'd re-explain which flavors of ice cream were the best and which ones to get from the ice cream truck when it came around, because Al could never remember having had ice cream before. At the end of their visit, Albert would wave goodbye to this wonderful, loud, loving group of people, already beginning to forget all they'd done together and who they were. But somehow, general memories seemed to get stuck in between Albert's synapses. Al could remember how to read, but not which books he'd already read or which ones were his favorite. He could remember how to speak, but no specifics about a conversation you'd just had with him. Al could remember that the woman he saw every day was called Mother, but couldn't remember any of the unique details that made her his Mother. He couldn't recall that she did crossword puzzles in the morning when he ate, and sometimes when she got stuck on a word, she would rub her temples and mutter to herself, five down, was it 15 across? Al could not retain the smell of the deodorant his mother used, so when he smelled it somewhere else, she did not come to his mind. He didn't know that she always said, gosh darn it, or God bless America, when she was frustrated. He couldn't remember how his parents had met or where his father had ended up. He couldn't remember what his mother believed or how she voted. Albert's mother was the person closest to him, and yet he didn't quite know her. But for some reason, this is odd and unexplained, Al always remembered his favorite breakfast food. Two slices of white toast, butter, two eggs sunny side up, and a glass of orange juice. And I cannot tell you how much this thrilled Albert's mom. She made this breakfast for him every day to the end of her life. As you may have guessed, Al's mom was a patient and a kind woman. She hugged her son as many times a day as she could squeeze in. Even during the few years when she tried sending Albert to school, she would come into his classes to say, I love you, and hold him close. Because you see, you and I can remember the feeling of being hugged or what it's like to be told, I love you. But Al's mom thought maybe her son could not. So instead, she recreated the experience for him every few hours. And she hoped that in this way, he always knew what it felt like to be loved. Albert's mom worried about what would happen to her son when she was gone. She doubted he would ever have a long-term relationship. Who would love a man who forgot his lover's name almost immediately? Who was amazed by every sensory experience and then forgot what he'd learned from all of them? After his mother's death, Al spent his time wandering, making fast friends with strangers only to lose them before too long. Finally, he decided to sit on the front steps of a large bank in a busy city and watch the people go by. And he did age in a way. He looked older because the collagen had faded from his skin. His clothes got tattered. He just sat there outside, fascinated by whatever the day-to-day weather was. He sat there on these marble steps, smiling for generations. And people laid food and coffee and winter coats and bottles of water at his feet. And they always looked at him longer than they looked at other homeless people, thinking to themselves, there's something different about that man. And then one day, Albert wasn't there anymore. He had disappeared. And I don't know where, and I don't know how. Maybe he lived forever. Maybe he met an unnatural end. It's hard to know what to hope for the man whose brain was new every 2 weeks. Now, I need to make clear at this point that I made that story up. There's so many amazing things about the brain you really don't know, in a way. But I made it up after I read this quote this week, and it's by the author Nicola Yoon. I read once that we replace the majority of our cells every 7 years. Even more amazing, we change the upper layers of our skin every 2 weeks. If all the cells in our body did this, we'd be immortal. But some of our cells, like the ones in our brains, don't renew. They age, and they age us. In 2 weeks, my skin will have no memory of your touch, your hand on mine, but my brain will remember. We can have immortality or the memory of touch, but we cannot have both. We can have immortality or the memory of touch, but we cannot have both. And I wonder what each of you would do if you had a fairy godmother who came to you and said, you may live forever or you may have the memory of touch. You may have immortality or you may remember for a long time the people and the experiences and the places that shaped your life. You could never die. Or you could spend the time you have continuously building and growing yourself, the person you are. You have to wonder, which one would you choose? And now we could spend our time wishing that we had both, but as my grandma used to say, I'll reform it for this crowd, spit in one hand, wish in the other, see which one fills up first. Or we can instead imagine all these teeming layers of life collaborating within us every second of every day to bring us breath and sight and taste and thoughts and movement. We can give thanks for the brain cells that age with us, accumulating memories and reprocessing them in an instant to become emotion and knowledge. We may not live for eternity, but we have the gift of learning from our mistakes if we choose to. We have the scary power to hold on to our regret and our bitterness forever if we choose to. Like the pouty fish decided not to. We also have the power to carefully catalog our joy and our gratitude. Smells remind us of favorite places, favorite meals, favorite flowers. We can collect our experiences of overcoming grief, failure, sadness, and earn the life-altering realization that we are resilient. We can experience spiritual growth and awakening because our brain cells age with us. We can remember how and why we love the people we love. And if we are wise, we savor our limited time with them. We share the sweet good fortune that evolution chose the memory of touch over immortality. How lucky we are to live, if not forever. How lucky we are to have the memory of touch and the experience of love. It's enough, don't you think? Blessed be. Amen.